Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, Hurricane Milton continues to wreak devastation across the US state of Florida. We're going to get the latest from there in just a moment. But among the knock-on impacts of the storm was the significant downgrading of Taoiseach Simon Harris's trip to the White House, which was marking a century of diplomatic relations between Ireland and the United States. Political editor with the Irish Examiner, Elaine Loughlin, is in Washington to cover the Taoiseach's visit, and she joins us now. Elaine, thanks for being with us. This meeting was, I think it's fair to say, utterly overshadowed by the impact of Hurricane Milton. But when the two leaders did meet, what did they discuss?
Yes, Claire, and as you said, the hurricane is really the only item on the agenda in America right now. I'm watching pictures on TV here of stadium roofs having been ripped off, and really I think people won't know the total severity of that storm until day breaks. We do know that over 3 million people are without power right now in Florida. But you're right. As a result, the President of the US contacted the Taoiseach directly on Monday evening to say that a reception that was due to be held in the Rose Lawn of the White House would be postponed. It was originally scheduled in to happen at the exact time that this storm was due to hit land. So the optics of that would not have been correct or right. So that was postponed, as I said. The meeting in the Oval Office, however, did go ahead yesterday. It was rescheduled and moved a number of times because of the President's schedule, and indeed right after his conversation with the Taoiseach, the President again addressed the nation on the storm. So that very much was the dominant issue preoccupying those in the White House yesterday, and I would imagine again today and in the coming days.
So they spent, was it about less than an hour they had together for a finish?
Yes, and we had been told that the Taoiseach anticipated that he would get around a half an hour. So just over that, just under an hour, we were told, after he emerged from the Oval Office, and they spoke about various issues, amongst them Ukraine, Northern Ireland, always an issue that is discussed, and peace in Northern Ireland, maintaining the institutions in Northern Ireland, the undocumented Irish, and of course the Middle East and the conflict in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to have featured fairly prominently. The Taoiseach was said afterwards that he drew a parallel between Irish and Palestinian history. What more detail did you get on that part of the conversation?
Yes, and before he did go into that meeting in the Oval Office, the Taoiseach was pressed on whether he would perhaps raise the issue of the US providing arms to Israel. Now, he had said that it wasn't up to Ireland or any other country to dictate the foreign policy of other nations, but he did say he would be going into that meeting making Ireland's stance in relation to Israel and the conflict in the Middle East clear to the President. When he emerged from the Oval Office, he said that he was in no doubt that a conversation that President Biden had had shortly before the Taoiseach's meeting with Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu was a substantial one, and he went in depth in terms of the actions that Israel would need to take in terms of humanitarian aid and a ceasefire. So it does seem like the President briefed the Taoiseach on that phone call that he had with Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Taoiseach, as he said himself, was left in no doubt as to the words, the strong language that was used perhaps during that call. As you said, Claire, though, he did as well say that he told the President that as Irish people, we know what it is to feel like we're not seen by the world, and we know what it is like to have our national identity hijacked by a terrorist organisation, and he went on to tell the media that Hamas are a terrorist organisation.
Okay, Elaine, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Elaine Loughlin, with the Irish Examiner, who's in Washington. Let's talk more now about Hurricane Milton. I'm joined on the line by Brian McNulty, who's a hurricane researcher at the Rosenstiel School of Marine, Atmospheric and Earth Science at the University of Miami. Brian, thank you very much for being with us. And we've been talking this morning and hearing about the tornadoes that came with the hurricane. 116 tornado warnings issued across Florida, some of those tornadoes were unusually large, classed as wedges. Will you explain to us what happened?
Yeah, hi Claire. It's not terribly uncommon for the for a hurricane to spawn tornadoes ahead of it in the rain bands, and we usually see it in what we would call like the front right part of the storm. So in this case, Milton was moving toward the east, so it would have been that southeastern part of it, which is where they all happened. And like you said, they were uncharacteristically large. We don't know exactly how strong yet, but usually we don't see very intense tornadoes in the rain bands of hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. And so these tornadoes, they're more intense in general than the ones that come with tropical systems. Is that right? And do we know why, if that is the case?
We don't know for sure. There's going to be survey crews going out to investigate to determine how intense those tornadoes were, but they do look like they were pretty large, so they probably were fairly strong. As to why, the environment that rain bands are in are often prone to create rotating storms and tornadoes, and the environment must have just been extra primed for that.
So what are we expecting to see in terms of flooding now over the next few hours?
The flooding should mostly be going away. The primary threat now, as Milton moves offshore into the Atlantic, is going to be some storm surge along the east coast of Florida, and then up a little bit into Georgia to its north. But the rain is mostly moved out.
But not the area isn't out of the woods yet, because that storm surge could prove to bring with it some enormous problems for the region, particularly the low-lying regions.
Right. Yeah. So the east coast of Florida still does have a storm surge risk.
Brian, thank you for joining us this morning. Brian McNulty there from the University of Miami. Connor Doherty's on the line. Connor is from Derry and living in Tampa. Connor, hello to you.
Hey, how's it going?
So you left where you were yesterday. You made that decision just yesterday. Is that right? To get to somewhere a little safer?
Yeah, we were just advised. We actually work in, you know, the disaster relief and stuff like that. So we were already cleaning up from Helene, and, you know, we were advised, you know, get out of there, which was probably a good decision. Now my power's off and my area flooded. So, yeah, so we're glad to get out of there.
How far did you travel?
I only went like an hour inland, just kind of towards Orlando. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we still got pretty strong enough winds and stuff here and a bit of rain, but not as bad as, you know, over where I live, you know.
And have you heard anything about what the area is like where you live now? Was there much damage there?
Yeah, they're saying like it's like a little river over there, you know, and going to take a little time to get power back. So, and a couple of my friends just been saying, you know, like stuff like cranes going through buildings and stuff like that. And, yeah, dumpsters flying. So, it's going to be a considerable bit of damage, you know.
Right, but given that you work in disaster relief, I assume that you don't find that too daunting now when you eventually get back and have to deal with all of that.
It's tough going, you know. We were literally, they couldn't clean the streets up properly in time from the last, you know, the last flood, and everyone just threw all their stuff out. So I'd imagine all that debris is just crazy now. So I'd say 70-80% of the city didn't get, you know, their belongings taken away yet. It was all just laying on the side of the road. So,
Because I'm sure, like we were hearing yesterday, that because that's all there from Helene, it becomes just projectile material and will be flying around the place, of course, over the last few hours.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to go back. We're just waiting on the call to go back today and go back again and get started again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I should say that you had sent your family away out of the area a few days ago. You made that decision for them to get them to safety, but then it was just you yourself were remaining on, but you made the final decision to get out yesterday.
Yeah, I got them out here Monday. You know, we knew something was brewing bad. You know, we usually keep track of them to keep our teams in place and stuff. So I was taking no chances. They're 1 and 2. So I just got them out of there to California, you know.
Oh, right. All the way to California.
Yeah, she's got some family over there, so I just sent them over there, spend some time and get them out of here.
You know, Conor, we were hearing over the course of the last few hours, a number of people who decided to stay, they stayed because they felt they couldn't afford to go. That, you know, they couldn't afford to find somewhere to stay, first of all, and they couldn't afford not to be working in the aftermath or if they weren't allowed back in. Were you hearing much of that?
Yeah, so I had a few people tell me that. Even before Helene, or with Helene, you know, people had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. That was their only home. And like all the hotels are booked up in Tampa and they just had nowhere to go. So a lot of people would have stayed through that. And I've heard there's quite a few rescues needed to be made and some deaths there. So, yeah, it's been a little crazy for sure.
And a lot of the structures are, you know, they're not very robust, are they? You're talking about RVs, wooden homes and so on, which are lovely when the weather is, as you would expect, the typical weather in the other 11 months of the year in Florida, but not built to withstand a hurricane.
No, these are old buildings. They're, you know, as I say, anything upwards of, you know, 80, 90 miles per hour, you're going to have serious damage. These buildings weren't built to withstand this, you know, in the 60s or 70s. So we do a lot of like reconstruction around there in between what we do, just to try and keep them more secure. But a lot of them won't have a chance to stand through it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you had already been working on the cleanup from Hurricane Helene.
Yeah.
So what's your workload going to look like now?
Before I had probably 100 guys out there, you know, doing cleanup and, you know, doing mitigation work, you know, cutting out the drywall and trying to dry out all the water because some areas, you know, were getting, you know, 6-7 feet of water in their house. And so this is probably going to double my workload at least, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you think about, you know, living there, continuing on there, raising a family there? Does it get to that point in your head?
To be honest, no, it's great for the kids over here. You know, obviously, you know, someone like this is not ideal, but it's a good place to bring them up. And
It sounds like it's become your home.
It is, yeah. Well, I don't know, always be home, but this is not a bad second one.
Well, listen, we wish you well. And it's great to hear that you're safe and that the family is safe as well. And I know you'll be busy over the coming months. So we wish you well with that, Conor. Thanks so much for taking our call.
See ya.
Conor Doherty there from Derry, but living in Tampa. And we'll keep up to date with the storm. There's still storm surge expected, some of those tornadoes too. So we'll keep a close eye on it and bring you the very latest. Coming up next, though, younger Irish readers have been going wild for this girl called Millie McCarthy. And if you haven't heard about Millie McCarthy, you're going to in the next few minutes. Stay with us.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.